against the wrong, like the heroes of old. But my faith was too fragile, my heart frail and sad, and pieces of dreams were all that I had.
Broken, shattered, saved and scattered, gathered together in the artist's hand, a life left in pieces, brought into
morning. This is our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our Lord to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak not to please mortals, but to please God who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with a pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others. Though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us.
This is the word of the Lord. Let the people say, thanks be to God. As you know, throughout the year, we have our high holidays, things like Christmas, Easter. Then at other times of the year, we in our celebration in the United Methodist Church have what we call holy days, things like Transfiguration Sunday or Trinity Sunday or Ascension, where we celebrate the wonderful blessings of God at work among and within us. And on those days, we specially remember those graces and miracles of God. Well, today is not a holiday or a holy day, but what we call a special day. And today is the day we call Reformation Sunday, where we celebrate the life and writings and teachings of Martin Luther. And we also continue in his guidance today as we march forth towards the future as a people of the body of Christ. Well, for those not familiar, in April of 1521, Martin Luther was put on trial by the church. He had been severely critical of its leadership. He had been questioning the validity of some of the sacraments, and certainly critical of some of the practices that he did not nor could find in Holy Scripture, in the teachings of Christ, or the writings of the apostles. Therefore, he was put on trial for heresy. An archbishop was given the task of examining Martin Luther. And I wonder if we have the exact quotes from 1521. The archbishop examining Martin Luther said, "Martin, how can you assume that you are the only one to understand the sense of Scripture? You have no right to call into question the most holy Orthodox faith. I ask you, Martin, answer candidly without horns." You can already see where he's going, yes? Amen? "Answer candidly without horns. Do you or do you not repudiate your books and the errors which they contain?" Luther replied, "Since then, your majesty and your lordships desire a simple reply, I will answer without horns and without teeth. Unless I am convicted by Scripture and plain reason, for I do not accept the authority of the leaders and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Of course, at this trial, Luther was convicted of heresy, and any who followed his teachings and proclaimed his understanding was also condemned. They were often persecuted. They were imprisoned. But they began that Protestant movement that says one does not need some intermediary between themselves and the living God, but that we have Scripture, and within each of us we have received the very Spirit and breath of Christ that leads us towards greater understanding and leads us to march forward as the body of Christ towards the future. We are grateful he took that stand. And for Luther, faith was the key. Faith was the key. In his own study and translation, he says and quotes, "We are saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ." Faith is the attitude that enables us to hang on to Christ. It is the way that we gain access to the saving grace of a loving and wondrous God. And that as we cling to our faith, the Spirit of God responds in grace and mercy and enfolds us into that relationship that leads to fullness of life in this life and beyond. Faith also, as at the heart of Paul's epistles, as Paul carefully listening and studying the teachings of Christ and answering also the Holy Spirit in his life, he focuses a great deal on faith. It is faith that leads to new life. In the entire passage and epistle to the Thessalonians, he says that we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, that we together, inspired by Christ, are the continuing revelation of God's life on earth. But then what Paul does is he also reminds us that faith has different or certain aspects to it. And for us to grasp the understanding of faith, Paul always challenges us to wrestle with these several aspects. The first thing Paul challenges us in this notion and way of faith is we are called to believe. We are called to believe, the verb of believing, that a gracious God has been in our midst and we have heard this gospel of good news, of new birth, and of continuing life. C.S. Lewis said, this is a great quote. C.S. Lewis says, "I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because I see everything by it." Do you understand? Not only that I see it, but the sun has risen, but C.S. Lewis says that as we receive this power of Christ in our lives, as we discern and follow Christ in our discipleship, but primarily as we believe, we begin to see the world with the eyes of Christ. And that was one of the issues for Martin Luther. 500 years ago, Martin Luther was a monk, and he was in great despair and anguish. He wanted so badly to be in right relationship with God, and he struggled so hard. He tried good works, and no matter how much he worked and how hard he worked, he still didn't feel that he had found complete favor with God. And he was perplexed by his imperfections. So then, of course, he practiced confession. He confessed every day his brokenness and his weaknesses before God. Sometimes, and I'm talking about every day, he would go to the confessional, and after 2 hours of confessing, he said, walking out the door of confessional, he was reminded of a few sins he had forgotten. Can I get an amen? In this deep and painful anguish, wrestling with the scriptures and the teachings of Christ and the words of Paul, he finally heard that message. That same God who has created us, that same God who has made demands upon us, That same God who judges us has also sent us the person of Jesus the Christ, through whom we have access and forgiveness, through whom we have received, once again, newness of spirit. Through this, even in our imperfections, we have found an incredible new spirit. And Martin Luther knew that we are through grace by faith included in this great unfolding drama of God's invasion of this world. Amen. Secondly, today, what Paul calls us to examine, as an aspect of faith, we're not only called to believe, but we're also called to trust. Each of us here know that at times we can believe a thing, but at the same time, to examine our hearts, do we trust it? Are we trusting in the God who loves us? A favorite illustration of mine, which is both true and factual, and whenever I say the word favorite, it means you may hear it again. True story. Two scientists were out doing a field study. Their specialty was ornithology, the study of birds. And in this area, they were particularly studying in a habitat in which golden eagles gathered. While they were in this study in the mountains, the two scientists also had a guide and the guide's son, who was showing them the various ways to navigate the geography. These two scientists noticed a small nest with an eaglet high up on a cliff, and over a two-day period, the mother had not returned. Now, this is completely abnormal and basically means that the mother had been killed. They were in a dilemma of how to be able to reach this eaglet, so they went up and climbed up and around these nearly goat paths to get to the top of this cliff, and then decided they would have to get down off this cliff to the small area where the nest was. So the two scientists said to the guide's son, said, "Son, we need to save those eagles. What we'd like to do is we'll lower you on a rope to get down to the nest, and then you can bring it back up." The son declined the opportunity. Can I get an amen? So secondly, and feeling a little frustrated, the scientist said to the young man, "We will give you $50 if you'll let us lower you on the rope to bring back the bird." And again, the young man declined the opportunity. And with that, the scientist said, "Well, how do you then suppose we are going to save this baby bird?" And the teenager said, "I'll do it for free if you let my father hold the rope." You hear what I'm saying? If you let my father hold the rope. How many of you are letting your father, your creator, who loves you, hold the rope to trust that whenever situation comes our way in life, suffering or joy, light or darkness, our creator God has a hold of the rope and will never forsake. Let us go. Do you trust? Last of all today, And the third aspect in Thessalonians that Paul speaks to, we are called to believe, we are called to trust as an aspect of faith, and last of all, we are called to follow. I mean, in a time of uncertainty, in a time of policy debate, we follow our leader, and that leader is Jesus Christ. Our family is the body of Christ that wraps around the entire globe, and our anthem can be sung within every tribe and every language and every people and nation upon the earth. We follow the living Christ who walks yet today with us and within us. Jim Wallace, who's a marvelous leader in the Christian community, he was with Sojourners for years, and he has been one of those wonderful bridge persons that has been a way that different factions of the church, so fractured and so divided, have been able to find common ground. And he has been one of those builders of bridges. And he hasn't always been a Christian. He was in childhood. He left the church in his teens. At the university, he wrote that he had been evangelized by about every denomination you can think of. And what saddened him is that while he was being evangelized by almost every denomination you can think of, he would respond to them, "How can I affirm the Christian faith when I see how the various churches treat each other and even see the behavior of many of the people of those same churches?" And with that, he was told, "Well, that's the thing. The church is made up of people. It's imperfect. You need to look to Jesus." And he said in his writing later, that was one of the saddest things that he heard. He felt that those who followed Christ should also, in their imperfection, still reflect the love of God and of neighbor that was taught by the living Christ when he walked the earth. We are called to follow. In our imperfection, but to follow. God is still at work through us as God unfolds his will for us. And we are called on this day, as we also appreciate so much the writings and teachings of Martin Luther, we know that as we follow Christ in this day and this time, as we ask 21st century questions of the faith, 500-year-old answers will no longer satisfy us or satisfy the God who calls us and leads us forward. As we become a people of love and vulnerability and sacrifice, as we allow the God who is still alive and walking with us transform us, and as we are called to continue this unfolding of God's dreams and will for us, we follow. So I close today by saying we are thankful for the teachings of Christ and the writings of Paul. We are thankful that as a faithful people, we are called to believe. We are called to trust and called to continue to follow in this time, in this place. Thus ends the message. Thanks be to God. Please receive the dismissal and the blessing. I send you forth now as a people in whom the Spirit of Christ lives, breathes, and walks again. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon you always. And the people said, God bless you all. Go in peace.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of the First United Methodist Church in Turlock, California. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, share-alike license. For more information about our church, visit www.fumcturlock.org or call the church at 209-668-3000. Visitors are always welcome. And now, may the peace of the Lord dwell in your hearts this day, and may God bless you.